Welcome to another Macquarie Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message.
Today, I'm going to be speaking from Acts 2, verse 42 to 47. So join with me as we read this passage together. They spent their time learning from the apostles. Learning. Well, that's equipping right there, isn't it? And they were like family to each other. They also broke bread. I'm pretty sure it was the City Life sourdough from Baked Uprising. Oh, gets me every time. And prayed together. Everyone was amazed by the many miracles and wonders that the apostles worked. All the Lord's followers often met together. Everyone say together. And they shared everything they had, even the underwear. No, I'm joking. And please, it doesn't say that. They would sell their property and possessions and give the money to whoever was in need. Day after day, they met together in the temple. They broke bread together in different homes and shared their food happily and freely while praising God. Everyone liked them. And every day, the Lord added to their group others who were being saved. It's interesting how the word together doesn't come up in that scripture, isn't it? No, it gets repeated. And it together becomes such a symbol of the early church. And that word together is really the vision word that he has given our church for this year. And so I'm going to be sharing today on being together at the table. Together at the table. But it's interesting to think about all the things that happen at a table. Here's a little list. A table often becomes a dumping ground for belongings. People study at a table. They do their homework. They do their work. They answer phone calls. It sometimes becomes a breathing space for a moment of, oh, just leave me alone. I need to sit here for a second. Meal times, a war zone for toddler tantrums and toddler mess. Lola, my little daughter, went through a chucking phase where I tell you what, she had a great right hand on her, taking the food and walls, carpets, everything. She caused plenty of damage, but at least she's got scouts from American baseball teams chasing her up, trying to get her contract already. Got to go through dad though. But tables become a place of reflection sometimes, a dreaming space. Sometimes a conflict zone happens at a table. Sometimes intimate conversations, laughing and crying, life group connections, board meetings and board games. But tables become a picture of a gathering ground and an aspect of together. And in our culture, you would understand and be aware that currently there is just such a lack of intimacy at tables these days. And one accord at the table is scarce. It's actually, though, a biblical model. Together at the table is a biblical model. We see Christ do so well. And Jesus met around the table and invited people to follow him over a meal. Households and homes were forever changed because of the interaction he had around a table. He even goes into the temple and knocks over tables, doesn't he? Turning tables, which is actually an expression for DJing. No, Jesus was not a DJ. Imagine if he was, though. My Redeemer lives. Wicka, 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 wicka. He'd be a pretty awesome DJ. But today I want to have a little look at what causes together at the table. What causes that one accord at the table? Because tables are great. They always stand up for what they believe in. It was a joke. They're really good at making decisions too because they always stand behind it. Okay, I'll leave those silly jokes there. Anyway, I might give you one more at the end, but all right. Our first aspect that causes together at the table, service. Together at the table begins with service. And where did the early church learn to do service at the table? Where was it modeled to them? We're going to look at one of the greatest table scenes in history, the Last Supper. Beginning in John 13 through to John 18, we actually did a series on this last year. Can any of you remember the series? John 13, John 18? Come on, people. When I'm Gone. That was the series we did as a church. And it was based on Jesus' final words to his disciples at the Last Supper. But as I read John's account of the Last Supper, I keep coming back to a very peculiar incident that happens that interrupts the progress of the meal at the table. Let's have a look at it right now. John 13, verse 3 to 5. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. What a beautiful conversion of power into service. Verse 12. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. But now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." Wow. Just put yourself in that room for a moment as one of the disciples, seeing the rabbi, the teacher, this guy that you've followed for 3 years, do extraordinary things. Here he is, the guest of honor, really, at this table. And he chooses service to model to these men. In those days, foot washing was considered so degrading that a master could not require it of a Jewish slave. And so he's literally washing the filth of Jerusalem off his disciples' feet. And at the table, in this moment, Jesus himself chooses service, the way of weakness. So often the kingdom camouflages itself in weakness, doesn't it? So often the kingdom of God comes in moments and comes in ways that seem weak to this world. Kent Hodge said this the other day when he was here with us. The kingdom comes through the humiliation of Jesus Christ. And so the table of the gospel does not become and is not modeled in power. Not a power play. Even that night in the Last Supper, later on, the disciples start arguing over which one of them is the greatest in the kingdom. Even though they've just been modeled service at the table a couple of moments earlier. And so often we can get the table scene wrong and we can put the power struggle instead of the service at the forefront. And so service at the table was not foreign to the early church. It was their starting point. And so for us, let service at the table be your starting point. Number two, intimacy. Intimacy at the table. Do you remember being a kid and having to sit at a different table to the adults when you had guests over? Do you remember that? I remember that, and I remember thinking, these silly old adults, who do they think they are, leaving us kids at the kids' table? Far as I'm concerned, they can choke on that cup of tea that they're sipping on right now. Yeah, I know, I had that thought, forgive me. I told you, I'm not great on our leadership team at times, I will be weak. But I felt FOMO, fear of missing out. I wanted to be joining in the adults. But Christ's table is not a place of leaving out. It's not a place of leaving out from young kids to the oldest of people. And I'm telling you right now, we are living in such a relationally void time. People don't know how to have intimacy around a table. And loneliness has skyrocketed. Data from the longitudinal household income and labour dynamics in Australia. Okay, survey shows that consistently from 2001 to 2021, about 1 in 5 Australians agreed with the statement, "I often feel very lonely." But then get this. In 2022, that increased from 1 to 5 to 1 in 3, often feeling very lonely. Yes, COVID had a huge part to play in that. But studies have been done on the effects of loneliness. And Holton Lundstad found this in their research. The risk of premature death associated with social isolation and loneliness is similar to the risk of premature death association with well-known risk factors such as obesity, based on a meta-analysis of research in Europe, North America, Asia, and Australia. So what is happening? Are you seeing this? Are you seeing this loneliness epidemic sweeping across our globe, and especially in Western culture? Life without intimacy is sad. Authenticity in connection with people and God matters more than you could ever imagine. And so one of the most spiritual things that you can do is actually help people connect together. Actually help them get closer to each other. That is a spiritual thing. And so when I'm talking about this gathering around the table, one accord around the table, we're building connection, we're joining together, we're sharing in intimacy. And yes, if I'm honest, I am a bloke and that word intimacy scares me. But I realize it's what I need. It's one of the things that I am created for. We need it. And let me ask you this question. What was one of the most intimate moments that Jesus had with people when he was here on earth? What was it? It was the Last Supper, having communion. Because here he was sharing the bread, sharing the wine as a symbol of his body and his blood, the representation of him giving himself to his disciples, giving his body, giving himself away in service in an extremely intimate moment. Because I'm going to say a bit of a weird statement here, so just stay with me. But Jesus never had, obviously, an intimate moment with a lady when he was here on earth. And that, is, as we know, is a beautiful, intimate thing inside of your marriage to have. He didn't experience that when he was here on earth. And so here he is now with these guys who are 3 hours later going to betray, going to run away, going to lie, going to disown. And he is choosing to have his most intimate moment with these men. And so what he's doing, he's choosing intimacy with these guys who are completely broken. And can I tell you this, that when we choose intimacy around the table, it invites us to share in brokenness together, just as Jesus did that evening. Can you imagine sharing this deepness, giving all of yourself, knowing that the very recipient of that interlocking intimacy is going to betray and disown, run away and let you down? And so why we see the early church breaking bread together in each other's homes, it's this intimate moment happening. And so when we do communion, it is a beautiful, intimate thing that we get to do, to share in his body and his blood, to receive that intimacy through forgiveness. Right, let's keep moving. Generosity. Generosity around the table. Verse 45 of Acts 2 said, they would sell their property and possessions and give the money to whoever was in need. You know, a generous table is attractive, isn't it? There's a part of me that is pretty stingy. And my wife has had to do a fair bit of work on me when it comes for us being hospitable and having people over. She says we always have to have more than enough. There has to be an abundance at our table, a spirit of abundance. Whereas I tend to be, oh, yep, let's just make sure everyone's just had enough and that'll do it. We don't want too many leftovers. But it's, I suppose it's a part of also her Asian culture, that it's almost a sin to have a lack of food at the table. But it's this beautiful spirit of generosity in her, and I have learned from that. I'm going to show you a picture now. This was our missions team that we took to Sri Lanka a number of years ago. And here we are sitting at a table in the hills district of Sri Lanka. And from this table, we could look out the window and look out the door, overlooking the tea plantations. And this is the view that we would get. And right in front of us is the church building. Now, when we were sitting at this table, Pastor Grayson, who was the pastor of this church that you can see, and his wife Jemmy would fill us up with food. There would be an abundance at that table for breakfast and for dinner. We would be unbelievably satisfied and full of food. And Pastor Jemmy, she was just all about creating this spirit of generosity at the table. But as we would dine, I would look at the church and think, gee, they need a new roof. And Pastor Grayson would tell me that had snakes in there, that had rain and all kinds of horrible weather, and when it would flood, that have all kinds of issues. So when I got back to Australia, I couldn't stop thinking about the roof that this church needed. And on a really tough day for myself, I remember God bringing me back to that table in the hills overlooking their church and the tea plantations. And he said to me, I want you to rebuild that roof. And so in that moment, on a really hard day in my world, I did. And I committed and financially gave to this church to rebuild their roof. And I tell you that performing an action of generosity was such an antidote for restoring hope for me that day. But the story doesn't stop there. On Christmas Day in 2022, Pastor Jemmy passed away. And you might see a picture of her with Lizzie. This is Pastor Jemmy here. She passed away on Christmas Day, 2022. An absolute saint of a woman. She died from ongoing health complications, and I found myself going, God, why? Why take a beautiful woman as saint on this earth? A bit like Andrew Durham that we sadly lost recently. He was doing incredible work over in the Middle East. And I don't have all the answers why some of these people go home early. But the legacy that Pastor Jemmy left was that spirit of generosity around the table. And the early church was remembered for their generosity in and amongst the persecution. Generosity in the kingdom multiplies. And that's why I get amazed at our missions giving. Even though that amount, you know, that $175,000 that as a church we've raised and put together, that spirit of generosity he will use in the most amazing of ways. And we're going to see these beautiful seeds become trees. And as I start to finish, there was two last things. One of them was sharing around the table. Sharing is a beautiful thing at the table, where we get to celebrate. Where we get to celebrate failure. We get to celebrate weakness together. We get to celebrate the fun moments, and the celebration and grief becomes, what happens is when we share at the table, when someone I get to celebrate with, I take it on as mine. When they've failed, I get to take that failure on myself as well. When they've had an amazing moment, I get to celebrate in that. And I take it on. It becomes an imprint for me. It's that, comes back to that scripture, weeping with those who weep and rejoicing with those who rejoice. And so God recently gave me this picture of sharing, and I want to share it with you now. Inside each of us is this well inside you. And at the bottom of that well is these treasures. And the only way those treasures can be brought to the surface is through other people, allowing other people access to that well to dig down, help you bring treasures to the surface. And that's why even when it comes to going on mission trips, and we've got two coming up this year, what happens is you find that treasure in you that you didn't even know was there starts to come to the surface and starts to being brought up. And people that you're ministering to in the missions world or the place that you've gone to, they find as well that you are able to bring that treasure up out of them. And so there's this beautiful sharing that can happen on the missions field, but also at the table, that bringing of treasure to the surface in people at your table. Last one, extending the table. Kent Hodge said this, build bigger tables, not higher walls. Spend money on making the table bigger, not building walls. So can I encourage you to create margin at your table? Create margin. And with Easter coming up, we want you to commit as a church to having an Easter dinner party. I am inviting you to extend an invitation right now to someone in your world to come over to do an Easter dinner party with, to sit around a table, to share a meal together, share a moment together, and ask them if you can pray for them. I find praying for them and asking them over grace, I often say, hey, I'm going to say grace. Is there anything I can actually pray for you about though? And I tell you, they are open. They are so open. And it's showing them that you care about what is going on in their world. Last Christmas, I had a Christmas dinner party with one of my best friends that doesn't know Jesus. And now he was planning to come over, but he texted me in the morning and said, hey, do you want to go to the Jets game instead? So I said, oh, fair enough. Instead of coming over, let's go to the Jets game. So off we went to the Jets game that evening. After the Jets game, we were in the car. And I said to him, how's your dad going? Because I knew his dad's health wasn't real good and his dad had been struggling with his diabetes and having to was on dialysis. And he said, dad's not good. His health's getting worse and worse. And so I said to him, can I pray for your dad? Is that okay? He was so open and I prayed this prayer. And he said to me, thank you. I needed that. That's all it was. Just a simple little prayer. But keep your ears open around the table when need is brought to the surface. Because so often when you hear need in someone's world or you hear something where there's a gap in their space, it is so often a key to their heart that the Holy Spirit can use to unlock. And so I want you to be open this Easter for an Easter dinner party. No, you don't have to wash their feet when they come in, but be open. So, right now, I'm going to ask you this question as I close. What dimension of the table is God calling you to grow in today? What dimension of the table does He want you to grow in? Is it service? Is it generosity? Is it intimacy? Is it sharing? Is it extending the table? If you can all close your eyes, that would be terrific. Lord Jesus, there are tables in our community where you are needed, where service is needed. There are tables in our world where there's no light. There are tables even in our own communities that need generosity, that need service, that need sharing moments. And right now, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would start to speak to your people. Start to speak to them about a table space that they can occupy, that you can call them into and say, hey, I want you to take on an action of service. Hey, I want you to speak into this in a sharing moment. Hey, I want you to bring some generosity to this table. Start to speak to them, Holy Spirit. Reveal to them a moment, a table, Lord, that they can occupy. Give them courage, Lord Jesus, this Easter, to have an Easter dinner party. And it might look like mine, not even around a table. It might look like a walk in the park. It might look like a conversation with a friend. But Holy Spirit, you would give them boldness to take that step.
Thank you for listening. We hope you have enjoyed this message. For more information, please visit macquarielifechurch.com.au.